Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. Onc Live On Air is a podcast from Onc Live, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, Onc Live covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Shradan Vrstovsek, MD, PhD, the United Energy Resources Incorporated Professor of Medicine and a hematologist-oncologist in the Department of Leukemia, Division of Cancer Medicine at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center. Dr. Vrstovsek joined us to talk about pemigatinib in myeloid lymphoid neoplasms with FGFR1 rearrangements. On August 26, 2022, the FDA approved pemigatinib in patients with FGFR1 rearranged relapsed refractory myeloid neoplasms. The agency based its approval on findings from the Phase 2 FIGHT-203 trial, in which the agent elicited a complete cytogenic response rate of 79%. Additionally, 78% of patients with chronic phase in the marrow achieved a complete response with pemigatinib. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Vrstovsek discussed the significance of this approval in this rare patient population. He also described the transformative effects of pemigatinib coupled with a manageable toxicity profile and emphasized the importance of identifying chromosomal abnormalities in patients when determining the optimal treatment for this aggressive disease. Thank you so much, Dr. Vrstovsek, for taking the time to speak with me today. So just getting started, what is the significance of the approval of pemigatinib in myeloid and lymphoid neoplasms with FGFR1 rearrangements?
Now, we first need to recognize that this is a very rare condition. Myeloid lymphoid neoplasms with eosinophilia and a rearrangement of FGFR1 gene is rare. We don't really have a knowledge about how many patients out there exist with that condition, but hopefully that will change as we identify them. Because the development of pemigatinib, which is FGFR1 inhibitor, for these patients, it's a transformative therapy. While in the past, the outcome of these patients was very bad. There were no effective therapies, the chemotherapy, the supportive care didn't really provide meaningful benefit, and average survival was in a ballpark of a year, year and a half. Now, we have inhibitor of a driver of this disease, a medication that can completely eliminate the disease in about 80% of the patients. This is unheard of. It's earth-shaking, transformative event, and I hope that through education, we're going to identify many more of these type of patients to help them and live a normal life for as long as possible.
Could you just expand on the mechanism of action of pemigatinib?
What happens in these patients with myeloid lymphoid neoplasm with eosinophilia, with this particular abnormality in FGFR1 gene, is the abnormalities in chromosomes lead to activation of the genes. And this is very important for everyday practice. Translocation involving chromosome 8p11, so chromosome 8 on the position of p11, these translocations that happen, so breakage of the chromosome and translocations between them, that involved AP11 would activate the gene, FGFR1. The gene makes a lot of protein, FGFR is very high, and that is the driver behind the disease. Of course, there might be some other reasons for the disease aggressiveness. That's important to know because many patients present with more of a chronic myeloproliferative neoplasms, but some patients present with acute leukemia, myeloid or lymphoid or even lymphoma. There might be some other factors, certainly, that contribute to the disease behavior, but we all know and believe, and now we have a proof, that FGFR1 is the driver, and inhibiting it makes a lot of symptoms and signs and disease finally going away. If we want to have a message for everyday practice, looking for patients' chromosomal analysis result, cytogenetics or karyotype, these are the alternative names of that test, and identifying patients that have a translocations that involve chromosome 8p11. These are the patients that highly likely have FGFR activations and they are subject, therefore, to pemigatinib.
Could you discuss the pivotal efficacy data from the FIGHT-203 trial and anything that you found particularly surprising about these findings?
While we had high hopes that pemigatinib as inhibitor of FGFR1 would provide extraordinary clinical benefit Reality was that because of a diversity of the clinical presentations, from the chronic myeloproliferative neoplasms to lymphoma, ALL, AML, there were questions. I'm happy to say that, to me, the extraordinary benefits that are seen across the board are really amazing. We have about 80% overall eliminating disease. The duration of the benefit has not been reached in the study yet. The study has been going on for 4 or 5 years now. You can imagine what the transformative effect that is on a patient that would usually live a year, year and a half. Even in setting of acute myeloid leukemia, patients can eliminate disease just by taking one pill a day. So it's extraordinary even for the most sick patients. And in the future, I would envision that we would be combining pemigatinib with other active agents for those advanced cases to make it even better. Bottom line is 80% overall of the patients eliminate disease, judging by elimination of the chromosomal abnormality, this 8p11 translocation chromosomes, which is achievable in 80%. We really have something on our hands that nobody really expected.
We know that the safety profile is mostly consistent with the known toxicities from FGFR inhibition, but are there any notable adverse effects to mention and any patients who you wouldn't use this agent in?
The side effects of the FGFR inhibitors have been known because they are also approved for some other solid tumor types. So that toxicity profile is seen in patients with hematological diseases as well, but they would not detract anybody from using pemigatinib in the hematological malignancies in this one, MPL, with lymphoid myeloid FGFR rearrangement disease, because the benefit, it's extraordinary, outweighs any risk, and therefore I would advise everybody to look for these patients and treat them properly. Of course, those modifications are the rule. There is a preferred starting dose, which can be modified if it's necessary. And that's how the management of the patients happens in real life, because first is to eliminate disease, but then maintain patients on active therapy forever, basically, not to allow the disease to come back. And yet the quality of life is then a priority, and those adjustments to have a good quality of life for as long as possible is ultimate goal.
Is there anything else that you would like to emphasize about this trial or these findings?
So far, I have received such positive feedback from my colleagues in the field that have used this medication. And I think it's priority for all of us in the hematology to think about these rare patients that can be identified based on analysis of chromosomes. 8p11 is the abnormality that we look for, because if we forget, don't remember, or overlook those findings, then we are missing on extraordinary effective therapy for these patients. So education is my message. Learn about 8p11 and pemigatinib.
Is there any ongoing research at MD Anderson that you are excited about?
Here at MD Anderson Cancer Center, we have developed the largest single institution center for myeloproliferative neoplasms in the world. There are numerous studies for other types of MPNs, including patients with essential thrombocythemia, polycythemia vera, and myelofibrosis. And we are in the midst of performing a number of phase 3 randomized studies for a possible approval of new medications for these conditions as well. So please join us and send us our patients to join these efforts.
Thank you so much again for taking the time to speak with me today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and at OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms, so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.